discover the inherent power of God in you.
Whether there are challenges or not, we are still the same. We are constant. God is constant. God does not change. And that is the life that we have received. He says Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. That is the same life we have also received. We are also the same yesterday, today, and forever. What kind of life? We are the same because we have the same life with Christ. So when you think about God, think about you. Because everything He is. That is why He told Abraham, He said, I am your exceeding great reward. God gave Himself as a reward to Abraham. And we are the seed of Abraham. Therefore, we have inherited God Himself.
Listen to Pastor Oti Boateng as Christ is magnified in you.
Father, we are grateful. Father, we are thankful. Thank you for another glorious opportunity to be together, to hear from you, to receive from you. We love you. We praise you. We thank you. We worship you for who you are. We praise you for your mighty works in the earth and in our lives. Lord, speak to us. We receive the spirit of wisdom, revelation, and the knowledge concerning our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Help us get to know Jesus' person some more this morning. Help us get to know His purpose, His will some more this morning. Help us get to know His power that is at work in us and for us. And help us get to know His riches that is in us and that is for us. Thank you. We receive your word with meekness and with gladness, even in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. God is good. Tell me about God is good. And you need to believe it. You know, some people don't think that God is good. What you believe about God determines the quality of life you live. Right. The quality of your life is determined by the knowledge of God that you have. If you believe that God is a very wicked person, or like He's not so nice, He's not so kind, that's exactly what you will have. You will have a not so kind, not so loving kind of life. It's important. In Psalm 27, verse 13, look at Psalm 27, verse 13. Let's read New King James Version. Can we read this together? One to go. I would have lost heart unless I had believed that I would see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. I would have lost heart. My life would have been destroyed. Things would have gone very bad for me if I had not believed. Unless I had believed that I would see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. You have to believe that you will see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. David says that, I believe, that is why I saw. You see, David had a very wonderful, very different life. Very different. David was living in the Old Testament, but living a New Testament type of life. It's wild. Just because of what he believed. He believed that he will see and experience the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. God doesn't use punish. He doesn't use wrath, his wrath or anger to get his children to repent. It's not the wrath of God that leads to repentance. It's not the wickedness of God that leads to repentance. It is the goodness of God that leads you to repentance. You need to believe the goodness of God. Romans chapter 2 verse 4. He says, or despisest thou the riches of his goodness and forbear. God is rich in goodness. God is rich in what? Goodness. Do you understand goodness? God is called the good. He's called the good. What? God is good. Jesus said, there's none that is good apart from God. God is good. God is the good, his goodness packaged. Or despises out the riches of his goodness and forbearance and long suffering, not knowing that the goodness of God leadeth thee to repentance. It's the goodness of God that causes you to change your mind. Repentance, the kingdom of heaven or church is about repentance. Repentance is changing your mind. Okay, to repent means to change your mind. Tell your neighbor. Neighbor.
To repent
means to change your mind about various things of your life. So maybe, for instance, as I'm preaching now, maybe you had a certain thought or a certain thinking or a certain perception about God, that God loves you if you are in a good position. Like if you have kept to all his rules and kept to all his laws and made sure you are spotless. Did you see? That's what you may have been thinking all your life. But the word of God is coming to tell you that God is good to you. God is good. God is goodness. And his goodness to you is not dependent on your state. You have to understand it. Doesn't mean that you can fool around. That's not what I said. Because the goodness of God is what he has also put into you. God's goodness, God's kindness, God's patience, God's mercy, God's love, God is sinless. And he is in you. The greatest revelation of the New Testament is Christ in you, or God in you. And God, if God is in you, then it means that he's in you with all his goodness, with all his blessings, with all his beauties, his mercies. You see, he's in you. And you to your life is like his life. You see, your life is like his life. God, of course, he's giving you his life. So God is goodness. So you to you are goodness. Do you get it? How is stealing goodness, the goodness of God? So understand what I'm trying to say. I'm not saying that you can do whatever you want to do and everything will be fine. Sin, the wages of sin will always be death. Passion of this. Let's read Passion. Passion translation. The wages of sin will always is and will always be there. So sin is not something you should play with. We are not trying to endorse sin, but I'm trying to let you know the character of God or who God is. And you need to believe the right thing about God in order to see changes in your life. If you are stealing, you need to understand the goodness of God in your life, and that is what will cure you of your errors. Okay? It says, do the riches of his extraordinary kindness make you take him for granted and despise him? Haven't you experienced how kind and understanding he has been to you? Don't mistake his tolerance for acceptance. Do you realize that all the wealth of his extravagant kindness is meant to melt your heart? Do you see? That's how God gets you to change. By showing you extravagant kindness. It's meant to melt your heart and lead you into repentance. That's how he changes our lives. God changes our lives by helping us get to know how good he is. Do you understand? Yes. Always remember that God's love for you is not based on you. It's based on his son, Jesus. He loves you because of Jesus. He loves you because you are in Jesus. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Say God is good. Yeah. Sometimes you do something wrong and you're wondering, oh God, hey. Oh God, does God even love me anymore? He loves you. Romans chapter 5, verse 8 says that, but God commendeth, or God shows his love towards us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Have you seen it? Christ died. God commends. Oh gosh, can we read another version? Amplified. But God shows and clearly proves his own love for us by the fact that while we were still sinners, not when we were good, while we were still sinners, Christ the Messiah, the anointed one, died for us. He died for you when you were not correct. Is it now that you are born again that he will leave you because you did something wrong? God doesn't leave you because you did something wrong. Knowing that God has not left you is what will cure you from doing something wrong. Did you get it? That's what will cure you from doing something wrong. Repentance is equal to acknowledging the goodness of God in your life. The more you acknowledge how good He is to you, the more you feed on His love. The key to curing worldliness is feeding on the love of God, or feeding on the goodness of God for your life. Okay? It's in 1 John chapter 2. It's so important. Maybe you have a habit, a very bad habit that you want to stop. Most Christians have one habit or the other. Okay? One thing or the other. It's like you wonder, when will this thing leave my life? The key for the thing leaving your life is to feed on the fact that God loves you. Okay? The more you understand how much God loves you, the more you would not want to break His heart. Paul says the love of Christ controls us. So God's love controls. It can control you. When you are in love with someone, you don't want to hurt the person, isn't it? Mm-hmm. So the reason you are hurting the person is because you don't really care about that person. The more you know how much the person has loved you, the more you would want to return His love to you, to him. Hello? Do you like what I'm telling you? I don't like what I'm telling you. It doesn't sound correct, but that's actually what the Bible says. Mm-hmm. God is good. Tell me about God is good. Okay, the cure to worldliness. 1 John 2:15 says, love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. Then it says, if any man love the world, all those who love the world, the pleasures of the world, the things, the dresses of the world, the wigs of the world, the what? The phones of the world. I hear iPhone 17 is in. You don't have to sleep with someone for iPhone 17. You don't have to. Why would you? Why? It says, if any man love the world, the reason is that the love of the Father is not in him. He doesn't know how good God is. He doesn't know how much God loves him. As a son, and hence will supply all his needs according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus. Why are you going to see a juju man? I'm going to see a juju man because you don't think God is good enough to sort you out. You think God is too slow. There are too many corners with God. God is not wild. He's not fast. That's what you believe in about God. You wait for a long time. Hey, is it God? If it's God, then it's not today. It's not today. It's going to take a long time. No, don't think like that. That is what is preventing you from enjoying Him. Do you see? That is why you would go into all kinds of things. Don't think like that about God. God is good. And God, you see, David said, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. There's nothing, he will not keep any good thing from you. Learn to trust Him and trust His goodness. Okay? Yeah. Can you trust God that the iPhone 17 is not coming, and He knows why it is not coming? God knows why it is not coming. He knows why. Maybe if it comes, your life will change. So God wants you to hold on for some time, and then after some time He will sort you out. Can you trust God along those lines? Be thankful for what you have. David said, my heart would have fainted. Like, I would have lost. Can you show me that? Psalm 27, verse 13. NKJV. It's nice in the NKJV. NKJV. It says, I would have lost heart. unless I had believed that I would see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. Yeah. God will not withhold anything good from you. No. He loves you too much to withhold good from you. Okay? Trust him. It's like a natural father telling his letting his children know, oh, your child is asking for a BMW. He's 5 years old. He's asking for a BMW. Okay? Real BMW, not toy. Real BMW. And he wants to drive it himself. Even the laws of the country does not allow that. So the father may not give it to him. He may buy the car, he'll let someone drive him around, but not hand the car over to him. If the son does not trust the father, that the decision the father has taken is because of his love for him, that child will go for the car and end up killing himself. Is it true or is it not true? You can't see windscreen even. You can't see windscreen. Like 5 year old, when he sits on the seat, he can't see the windscreen. He doesn't have enough wisdom to drive the car. That's what we mean when we say trust the Lord. Trust the Lord. Trust the Lord. Yes. Not God didn't give it to me, so I'm off. I'll get it for myself. He says those who love the world, they love the world because they love the Father. They don't understand how much God loves them. Yeah, they don't understand. One day, Moses wanted to see God. In Exodus chapter 33, Moses said, show me thy glory. Moses had worked with God for a long time. Then he said, Lord, show me thy glory. Can you show me Exodus 33, verse 18? And he said, I beseech thee, show me thy glory. Next verse 19. And he said, I'll make all my goodness pass before you. His glory is his goodness. The glory of God is the goodness of God. And I'll proclaim the name of the Lord before thee, and I'll be gracious to whom I'll be gracious, and I'll show mercy on whom I'll show mercy. Now, go to chapter 34, verse 6. Finally, when God was showing himself to Moses, look at what God did. And the Lord passed by before him, before Moses, and proclaimed, the Lord God, merciful and gracious, long-suffering and abundant in goodness and truth. Hey, this is God. This is not New Testament. This is Old Testament. God is showing us who he is. Who is God? He says, God, he proclaimed the name of the Lord. Proclaimed the Lord God, merciful and gracious, long-suffering and abundant in goodness and truth. He's abundant in truth. And the truth is what sets you free or makes you free. So when you encounter him, he makes you free. It changes your life. Makes your life better. Your life is not changing for the better. It means that you've not been encountering God. When you read your Bible, you don't see him. When you come to church, you don't see him. You see something else. If you are in church for a long time and nothing, you are not repenting. Repentance is not coming. You are not changing your mind about various things. It means that you have not actually been seeing and experiencing the goodness of God. Yes, that's what it means. Hallelujah. Yes. Look at the next verse. Some people like what is in the next verse. It says, keeping mercy for thousands. This is God. It says, God keeps mercy for thousands. Forgiving iniquity. That's what he does. He's a specialist in forgiving iniquity. All your hidden sins. All the things that you have done that you cannot speak of. All the things you cannot speak of, you cannot discuss. Ask your neighbor, can you discuss some things? God knows. God has seen all those things. Even with yourself, you can't discuss it. He says that God forgives iniquity and transgressions and sin. Then he says, and that God will by no means clear the guilty. He doesn't. He doesn't clear the guilty. If you are guilty, he will not clear you. He will not pardon the guilty. Visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon the children and upon the children's children unto the third and to the fourth generation. Some people like that part. They only like that will by no means clear the guilty.
visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon the children, upon the children's children, and to the third and fourth. That's what they like. So that's all. They will never quote this part of the verse that I showed you, verse 6. They will never quote it. They will only quote that side. See that God will not clear the guilty. All your guilt, all the things you have done, the Lord will not clear you. And they keep warning people. But this is what Jesus came to do. Because God will by no means clear the guilty, Jesus took the place of the guilty. That is you and I. Yeah? He took the place of the guilty and took the punishment and the wrath of God so that the guilty can walk free and enjoy the other aspect, which is the goodness of God and the blessings of God and the mercies of God. What you believe about God determines what... I mean, if you think God is going to... You can't serve God. You can't serve God. You're always afraid. You're always suspecting God. God doesn't like you. There's something that is happening. There's something, hey, because of this, because of that. No, God is not like that. God wants you to change. Become better. Okay? So that you can serve Him. You will not be able to serve Him well if you think He's not a good person. God is good. Tell anybody, God is good. Jesus took your place to take that. The wrath of God for humanity was so much that the sacrifice of Elijah, okay, when Elijah had asked them to pour water on the sacrifice over and over, they poured you want fire to come down and you're pouring water over the sacrifice. Are you okay? Did you go to Sunday school? Do you know the story I'm talking about? Show me if you know the story I'm talking about. Some people don't know. Okay, there's someone called Elijah in the Bible. He was a prophet. Eh? I don't know what to even say again. But there was a competition between him and a certain god called Baal, one of Israel's major gods that they struggled with. B-A-A-L. What did I say? One of the idols that Israel struggled, like it's either they were choosing God or they were choosing Baal. I mean, it was a problem. And Elijah said, okay, if God is God, serve Him. If Baal is Baal, serve Him. Don't stumble between two opinions, like today you're with God, tomorrow you're with Baal. We don't like that. If Baal is God, then let Baal bring down fire. Call. So he gathered all the prophets of Baal in Israel and told them they should call upon their God to bring down fire to consume their sacrifice. So they put up a sacrifice. They called on their God throughout the day, from the morning to around 2 o'clock. And Elijah was laughing at them. Maybe he has gone to the loo. Maybe he has gone to bed. Elijah really enjoyed himself. This is one of the times where we see that Elijah was actually a happy man. Apart from this place, you may not think that Elijah was... can we read the lighter version? Let's read it. This is 1 Kings 18. This is not my message. I'm preaching on why you're not a shepherd. So... you people, let me stop talking about this and talk about shepherding. About noontime, Elijah began mocking them. You will have to shout louder. He scoffed. For surely he's a god. Perhaps he's daydreaming. Because we're calling on your God through, but it wasn't working. You have to shout louder. He scoffed. For surely he's a god. Perhaps he's daydreaming. Or he's relieving himself. He has gone to the loo. He's having some constipation or some ranso, so he can't answer your prayer. Hey, he's busy. Or maybe he's away on a trip. Or he's asleep and needs to be wakened. Elijah really laughed at them. There's this, if you should watch Superbook. You know Superbook. Superbook will let you see Elijah laughing. Elijah really enjoyed. You see Elijah laughing and laughing and laughing. It couldn't work. Their God didn't send out fire. Then Elijah told them, okay, now it's my turn. Elijah set up the altar. And then instead of putting kerosene or petrol on the sacrifice, he put water. He told them to pour barrels of water. Barrels. Barrels upon barrels upon barrels of water. And the whole thing was soaked. Everything was drenched in water. Then he prayed to God. And fire came from heaven. Live. Hey! Has your father done some before? Fire came from heaven like that. And came to, the Bible says that it licked up Okay, this is verse 38. Immediately the fire of the Lord flashed down from heaven and burned up the young bull, the stones, and the dust. It even licked up all the water in the trench. The fire was so much because the anger of God, the fire represents the anger of God. The anger of God towards humanity was so much that there was no sacrifice, human sacrifice that could work. No human sacrifice could work. That is why Jesus came. 1 Peter 3, verse 18. Look at 1 Peter 3, 18. For Christ also has once suffered for sins. Once suffered for sins. The just for the unjust. Can we read the lighter version? TBT. Christ suffered and died for sins once and for all. Have you seen it? The innocent for the guilty. The innocent. Jesus was the innocent one. As Jesus hung on the cross, all of God's fire, his anger, consumed him. He was punished for our punishment. He took our place and took our punishment. The one who by no means clears the guilty punished humanity one day. And that punishment was meted out or was received by Jesus on the cross. So that you and I can go free and experience the goodness of God. So now you are entitled to enjoy the goodness of God. Because God did not spare Jesus at all on the cross. God punished Jesus well for him to be satisfied. The Bible says that God was satisfied with the punishment that Jesus endured. Isaiah chapter 53 verse 10. Look at Isaiah 53 verse 10. Yet it pleased God to bruise him. Let's read lighter versions. God was pleased, but it was the Lord's good plan to crush him. He crushed Jesus and caused him grief. Have you seen it? Yes. When his life is made an offering for sin. Jesus' life was made an offering for sin. And the word offering for sin is guilt offering. He will have many descendants. He will enjoy a long life. And the Lord's good plan will prosper in his hands. Show me another version if you have. Yes. Yet it was the will of the Lord to bruise him. He was put to grief and made him sick. He has put him to grief and made him to be sick. Yes. The Bible says that there's a place where it says that God was satisfied. God was pleased to bruise him. Yeah. Is it verse 11? Go to verse 11 and let me see. Uh-huh, this one. Verse 11. Can we read a lighter version, NLT? It says, when God sees all that is accomplished by his anguish, by the pain, when God saw all that he was, like Jesus taking our punishment, when God saw it, God was satisfied. Yes. Jesus served the full sentence of our sin. Yeah. Jesus drew all the judgment of man upon himself when he was on the cross. And God consumed him. I tell you. For you and for me. So that we can walk free and enjoy the goodness of God. So please enjoy the goodness of God. Stop thinking that God has some one or two things against you because of some one or two things that has happened in your life. And amazingly, it happened 7 years ago. But you can't forgive yourself. You can't for it's like you are struggling. When you are praying, you pray with one eye open just in case God should smite you. Just in case. You can't feel free around God. You can't feel free in his house. You feel it's like you were a suspect. You are suspicious of God. You think that God is suspicious of you. My brother, tell your neighbor, relax.
Relax.
Relax. And enjoy the goodness of God. Is God your father? You know, one of the major ministries of the Holy Spirit is to let us know the goodness of God. The Holy Spirit has a ministry of pouring God's love into your heart. Romans chapter 5, verse 5. His ministry is to pour the love of God constantly into your heart. Where you notice that the love of God in your heart is finishing. It's like you're becoming more and more conscious of how nobody loves you.
and how you are alone in this world and you have to make it on your own and, you know, do some kwakwakwa movements to survive. The Holy Spirit just pours out the love of God. And hope maketh not ashamed, because the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost. Let's read the lighter version, TPT or something. Sometimes you don't understand the King James. He says, and this hope is not a disappointing fantasy. He's showing you the secret to having your hopes or your dreams or your visions. You are hoping to travel. You are hoping to marry. You are hoping to have kids. You are hoping to have a house. You are hoping to have a car. You are hoping to fulfill your ministry. You are hoping to build a mega church. You are hoping to do whatever it is that you are hoping to do. He says that the key for that hope coming to pass is knowing. He says, and this hope is not a disappointing fantasy. Your hope will not be dashed. Why? Because we can now experience the endless love of God cascading into our hearts through the Holy Spirit who lives in us. The Holy Spirit has a ministry of pouring the love of God in your heart more and more to let you know how much God loves you. God loves you too much for your vision or the dream that you know He has given to you. Eh? From coming to pass. It will come to pass. Yes. If God loved me so much, He gave His own Son. God did not spare His own Son. Have you seen God before? Jesus said, no man has seen God at any time. It is the Son who has made Him known. Jesus is God. And God gave up God. God punished God. Why did God punish God? Because of you and me. If God punished God because of us, hey, is it now that God says that we are free? That God will have a problem and say, hey, because of this and that, forget it. All these dreams that you have, that all the things I want you to do, it will not come to pass. Is it now that He's going to do that? He spared not His Son. That's what the Bible says. Romans chapter 8 verse 32. He that spared not His own Son. You don't even know God. The Son is God. And even though He didn't know, God punished the Son so that you can be free. Is it now that He will not give you? What are you looking for? Car. You want your business to flourish. You are going to see Baba Lao. Kukulonja. Are you serious? You need Baba Lao for your business to work? Child of God. Hey. Lift your hand like this and slap yourself and say, why? You have come to slap somebody. Slap yourself. Why will God not be gracious to you? Why do you think God's goodness to you is dependent on you? You have blocked a lot of the goodness of God in your mind and in your heart because you think that it's dependent on you. Are you the one who saved you? Did you save yourself? Do you know the way to heaven? No shortcut to heaven. No bribe in heaven. No back door to heaven. I mean, you don't know where. What's the path? Which plane goes there? You don't know. Yes. Jesus is God. Listen, Jesus is who? Is God. Has your uncle ever? I want to ask you something about your uncle. Can I ask you something about your uncle? I should ask you. Has your uncle ever walked on water?
He's not even alive. He's not even alive.
Oh, mercy. Has your uncle ever walked on water? Even tea, he can't walk on tea. What? Even rain, cry, he can't run under it. Hey! Jesus came and was walking on water. Hey. Yesterday, I was watching a cartoon once again with the children. And when they saw Jesus walking on water, some of the disciples collapsed in the boats. I said, these guys know what they are talking about. It's true. It happened. I feel, because it's not a small thing. Hey. You see a human being walking on water. And he's coming towards you like that. He's not going somewhere. You are in the boat. You can't run away into the water. You can't go anywhere. Well, just collapse. Just collapse. Even nightmare can't. This is feely. The Bible says that they thought it was a ghost. Oh, I mean, the cartoon is so powerful.
They just, some of them, I think it's Thomas, just collapsed. It's not a small thing. You don't know the distance from here to, you don't know. The one who knows came and said that. In my father's house, there are many mansions. If it were not so, I would not have told you that I go to prepare a place for you. And when I go and I prepare a place, I'll come and receive you. And he received us. Jesus has received us. John chapter 14. Go to verse 2. It says, if in my father's house, in my father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. If it were not, I would have told you that there's nothing. But actually, there's something. Then it says, I go to prepare a place for you. Next verse. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there you may be also. Has this happened? Has this happened? Some people think it will happen in the future. It has happened. Practically, Ephesians chapter 2, verse 4, 5, and 6. But God, who is rich in mercy, for his great love wherewith he loved us, even when we were dead in sins, has he made us alive together with Christ. By grace are you saved. Next verse. Then he says, and has raised us up together and made us sit together. Where? In heavenly places, in Christ Jesus. So we are seated together with Jesus. Jesus said, I'll come and receive you so that where I am, there you may be also. Are we where he is? We are where he is. We are seated together with him in heavenly places. That is your location now. You should be whispering to God. You are in the seat of God. We are in the seat of God. A quiet whisper on your mouth will be answered by God. That's this is when I say, Father, my heart just melts within me. When I say, Father, my wife and I were praying, I think this week, right? During the week, something came up. And we said, let's pray. So we just spent some time. When we said, Father, this problem has come, let there be a change. In some few hours, the change started flowing. A few moments later, that is what God wants you to know, that he's your father. Why are you stressing? You are suspecting him too much. Can you imagine? I'm defending God before you. I'm defending God. When I stood there, God told me, talk about my goodness more. Oh, Charlie! You can't even ask. You're afraid to ask. Why are you not asking? Jesus said that the Father loves you as much as he loves me. That's what Jesus said. Can you imagine? He says the Father loves you. That quiet assurance of a God who is alive, who is good, and who hears you and supplies all your needs according to his riches must be firmly established in your heart. Yes. It's in the Bible, John 16, 27. Jesus said, I will not ask for you. Go to 26. It says, at that day, which is today, at that day you shall ask in my name. And I say not unto you that I will pray the Father for you. I'm not going to talk to the Father for you. That's what Jesus said. You can't contact me to talk to the Father for you. All those of you who have been praying to Jesus in Jesus' name, all the best. Jesus says, don't pray to me, lest you the lighter version. You don't understand. He says, then you will ask in my name. This is NLT. I am not saying I will ask the Father on your behalf. Please. Jesus says, I'm not going to ask on your behalf. Next verse. Oh, if Jesus is not asking on your behalf, then you don't need Mary either. You don't need me. Jesus Nemu says that. You know Nemu? Jesus Nemu. Jesus himself says that. And I will not. Are we saying something bad? Then you will ask in my name. I'm not saying I'll ask the Father on your behalf. No. So there's nothing like asking on your Jesus. Jesus is not asking on your behalf. So nobody else can ask on your behalf. Peter can't ask on your behalf. Mary can ask on your behalf. James can ask. Paul can ask on your behalf. Next. Why? For the Father himself loves you dearly. The Father himself loves you dearly. I thought you'd be happy about it. It's like, hey, you're very happy. I'm not seeing your happiness. It's inside you. They say action speaks louder than words. How would the girl know you love her if it's inside you? You won't say anything. You won't do anything. How can we know? Are we in your heart? My wife, one of the first things my wife said to me when we got married was, I am not in your head. I can't read your mind. Let me know what you want. Say what you want. Tell neighbor, say what you want. We cannot read your mind. Actions speak louder than words. Let us see the actions. Let us see the actions. For the Father himself loves you dearly. Why? Because you love me and believe that I came from God. Do you love Jesus? Do you believe that Jesus came from God? It says, because of that, the Father himself loves you dearly. Go to chapter 17. John 17, verse 23. Jesus said, I am in them and you are in me. May they experience such perfect unity that the world will know that you sent me and that you love them as much as you love me. God loves you as much as he loves Jesus. As much. The same love that God has for Jesus Christ is the same love that God has for you. Because you are now in Jesus. And God sees you in Jesus. He sees you as his son. You are in son place now. And because you are in son, when Jesus met his greatest opposition, okay, on earth, which was death, 4 days of death. The person had died. Lazarus had died for 4 days. He didn't cry. He didn't have a long prayer session. He just said, Father, I thank you that you heard me. You heard me. Like we spoke about this a long time ago. Because Jesus said, this sickness is not unto death. And the Father heard him that this sickness is not unto death. So even though Lazarus had died, Jesus still saw him alive. This is John 11, 41. Then they took away the stone from the place where the dead was laid. And Jesus lifted up his eyes and said, Father, I thank thee that thou hast heard me. When did he hear him? It's in verse 2 or 3. You heard me long time. As discussed. So I see some memes around God. Like we discussed. Yes, that's as we discussed. That's what Jesus had, that same meme. God, as we discussed. Look at it. It says, when Jesus heard that, he said, this is verse 4. This sickness is not unto death, but for the glory of God, that the Son of Man might be glorified thereby. He says, when he said this, he says, God, Father, you heard me. It's not unto death. So even though the guy has died, he still can't see that he has died. Because we discussed that he won't die. If he has died, what is this? We don't know what it is. So Father, thank you that you heard me. And he called Lazarus like you call any man who is inside the house. Anyone who is alive. Look at how Jesus did it. And when he spoke like that, he cried with a loud voice, Lazarus, come forth. That's it. He didn't say, Lazarus. Hey, Lazarus. Midonyame. Lazarus. There was nothing like, Lazarus, midonyame. There's nothing like that. Lazarus, come forth. That's it. Next verse. And he that was dead, the one who was dead, actually he was not dead in Jesus' eyes. Because as discussed, Father, the greatest thing Jesus came to reveal on earth about God, Jesus is God. And when he came, he revealed, God is the only one who can discuss God properly for you to understand. When he came, he didn't say God is Jehovah Chidikeno, Jehovah Adonai,
Jehovah Elroy. All these are names of God. When Jesus came, he declared God as Father. That is what Jesus came to do. That is, if only you understand the fatherhood of God, your life will change forever. God will not sit down for you to go hungry. No. Father. Jesus never called God God. Throughout his life, check, you'll be surprised. The only time he referred to God as God was when he was hanging on the cross, when he had become sin. He said, my God, why has thou forsaken me? Is it Latin or whatever? Eli, Eli, Masa, Masa, Kaba. Someone said, Masa, Kaba, Daba. La Masa, Bakhtani. Someone said, Lama, Kaba, Daba. Don't worry, you remember, at least you remember Lama. It's okay. God, don't worry. Don't be worrying yourself too much. Yeah. That's the only time we call. God is good. Tell me about God is good. The Bible says that every good and every perfect gift comes from above. From the Father of lights, in whom there is no variableness, neither shadow of turning. He's a Father of lights. And from him, every good thing comes from. You must believe the love of the Father. You have to believe it. The whole Christian work is for you to believe the fact that, listen, God is your Father. Jesus said, Jesus told us the reason for eternal life. In John 17:3, Jesus said that, and this is eternal life. Jesus showed us his mission. Go to verse 1. Then we'll go to verse 3. Verse 1, 2, 3 says, these words spake Jesus and lifted up his eyes unto heaven, saying, Father. You see, he's always this Father. The hour has come. Glorify thy Son, that thy Son may also glorify thee. Also may glorify thee. Next verse. As thou hast given him power over all flesh, that he should give eternal life to as many as thou hast given him. Next verse. And this is eternal life, that they might know thee, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom thou hast sent. Jesus is letting us know the reason for it. What is eternal? Eternal life is for the purpose of knowing the only true God. Knowing the only true God as what? As your Father. As your Father. As your Father. Knowing the fact that God loves you. God loves you. God cares about you. God is running to you all the time. Listen, when the veil of the temple was torn into two, it wasn't to make a way for us to go to God. It was to make a way for God to come to us, rather. Because God has been waiting to come to you all this while. We didn't have enough wisdom to even love God. 1 John 4:10. All these are in the Bible. 1 John 4:10. In this is love. Herein is love. Not that we loved God, but that he loved us and sent his Son to be the propitiation for our sins. Let's read the lighter version. We don't understand. This is real love. Turn to your neighbor. Real love. I'm talking about real love. You think real love is the boy saying I love you? Or the girl finally saying to you, I love you too. Yeah. Charlie, boys, the wire. Yeah. Boys are suffering. Yeah. You love the girl, but she's not loving you back. Yeah. I remember the day I got a call from my wife that she said that, I love you too. I want to be with you. I said, hey. I was so happy. I didn't know what to do with myself. I was sitting in the car with my friends. I started shouting in the car. After the call, I cut the call. She didn't know. I cut the call and I started shouting in the car. Then they asked me, what is it? I said, Charlie, finally, me too. Somebody loves me. Oh! It's nice to love. Hey, it's nice to be loved though. Have you loved someone and the person didn't love you back? Have you loved someone and the person didn't love you back? Hey! You feel like you don't exist. This brother, come. This brother here. This brother here.
He was in love with a certain girl. And the girl said no. And he was crying.
I remember, and I told him,
one day, I prayed for him. I said,
one day,
someone will love you back. He was kneeling down,
receiving the prophecy.
Yes. Today, what is happening today?
I'm loved.
Hey! Today he's loved. I am here to tell you, as a prophet, someone will love you back. Someone will love you too. Madagadabayaba. Someone will love you back. Someone will love you back. Wow. This is real love. Not that we love God, but that he loved us and sent his son as a sacrifice to take away our sins. Not leave some, take away our sins. Not cover, take away our sins. Jesus, the cross is God's eternal declaration of his love for you and I. If you want to know if you are loved, look at the cross. Someone died, and that person was not an ordinary person. That person was God himself. Yes. The cross is a sign of God's love. Yeah. That's why you have crosses around. When you see it, you remember that, hey, someone died. A gruesome death. If you don't want me to start talking about the gruesomeness of the death. Yeah. By the way, Jesus died stark naked. Everything was on everything. It's so shameful. We can't portray it. We can't. There's no movie actor who allow himself to be put on a cross naked. He won't do it. It's difficult. Yeah. Jesus was crucified stark naked because of the love. Yeah. Greater love has no man than this. This is real love. You want to know? Like, stop crying about some one thing. I don't have this. I don't feel loved. Hey. How can car be the reason why you don't feel loved? Exam, you failed an exam. Hey, slap the person who says exam. So God doesn't love you because he didn't pass the exam. You didn't learn, now you say God didn't help you to pass. You didn't learn, my friend. Ah, you didn't get a job, your dream job. So you have gone on retirement from church. You don't want to come around God. You don't want to have anything to do with God. You are angry. Remember why you're soon? No. You lost someone dear to you. So it's like, you have closed from the service. You are out for the next 3 years. Because you lost someone. You prayed and it didn't happen. So you feel disappointed. Why don't you ask yourself, did I not pray right? What didn't I? That's what you should be. Because God, let it be established in your head and in your heart. God is love. If something happened, maybe I didn't get it right. And ask God, God, what should I have done? What is it that you want me to see? Are you trying to teach me something with this? What is going on? That's what you should be asking, not running away from God. God, you don't love me. If you loved me, this wouldn't have happened. If you loved me, this wouldn't. Please. Please. No. Go to verse 16. You are in verse 16. 1 John 4 says, and we have known and believed the love that God has to us. We have known and we have believed. No, some people know. First of all, some people don't know it. Then there's another category, those who know it. Then the third category is those who know it and believe. Believe it. That God has the love that God has for you. God is love. And he that dwells in love dwells in God. And God in him. God is love. Yes. God loves you. God loves you. Huh? The things God has done for us. One of the things God has done for us is to save us from rapture. Some people are scared of rapture. I always say rapture. Hey, hey. You don't think you will go. Like, when you look at yourself, me, I'm not part. You are preparing for the great tribulation. Ask your neighbor, what are you preparing for? Great tribulation or which one? You started building for great tribulation. Ooh.
Let me show you some verses. One is in Romans chapter 5. Let's read from verse 8, 9. It's nice. He says, but God commended his love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Verse 9. Then he says, how much more then? Being now justified by his blood, or being now declared right, righteous by Jesus' blood, we shall be saved from wrath through him. We shall be saved from wrath. So, because you are the justified, or you are now the righteousness of God because of the agency of Jesus Christ, he says you are saved from wrath through Jesus. Let's do the lighter version. Some people don't understand. People are still looking at me like that. Hey, are you sure? And since we have been made right in God's sight by the blood of Christ, by the blood of Jesus, he will certainly save us from God's condemnation. There's a wrath that God is bringing on the earth, and you are not part of that wrath. Let me show you 1 Thessalonians. Oh, hallelujah. Can you speak in tongues for a little while? It's one of my favorite verses. First Thessalonians chapter 1, verse 10. Let's read from verse 9. Can we read a lighter version? NLT. One to go. For they keep talking about the wonderful welcome you gave us and how you turned away from idols to serve the living and true God. Verse 10. And they speak of how you are looking forward to the coming of God's Son from heaven, Jesus, whom God raised from the dead. He is the one who has rescued us from the terrors of the coming judgment. He is the one who has rescued us from the terrors of the coming judgment. He's not trying to. He's not thinking about it. He's not checking to see if you are good enough. Do you think that when the angel of death was passing through the camp of the Israelites and through the camp of Egypt, when he was going through Egypt, okay, the Israelites who were inside their houses with the blood of the lamb marking their posts did not have problems inside the room? Do you think they didn't have problems inside? Don't you think that someone was knocking his son for chewing the meat too much? Don't you think someone was arguing with his wife as they were in the room? But the angel of death, which is the wrath that was coming, did not enter their homes. It passed over them because of the blood of the lamb. Jesus Christ is our Passover. He's our Passover lamb who has been sacrificed for us. Jesus, you have been marked by the blood of Christ. All judgments pass over you. Judgments don't come into your house. One day someone had a dream. A man of God had a dream and said that he saw death entering my house. I just laughed. I said, okay, maybe he's passing through to go and do something else. He's not coming. What is he coming to do in my house? He should go away. Never think that like God is trying to punish you with something. No. God, you see, do you know one of the expressions of God's love is to chastise us? Let me show you that in our close. Hebrews chapter 12. Let's read from verse 5. And have you forgotten? Let's read TPT. It's nice in the TPT. I think I read it in the TPT no longer ago. And have you forgotten his encouraging words spoken to you as his children? He said, my child, don't underestimate the value of the discipline and training of the Lord, or get depressed when he has to correct you. So God corrects us. For instance, this is a correct. God is correcting you. Like, why do you think about me in a bad way? Do you get it? Now, next verse. For the Lord's training of your life is the evidence of his faithful love. God trains us, I tell you. And it's evidence of his faithful love. And when he draws you to himself, it proves you are his delightful children. Next verse. Fully embrace God's correction as part of your training. One of the major places God corrects you is in church. When you come to church, hey, you hear the preacher preaching,
and he will say something and you realize that this one there is for me. Don't develop resistance and walk out of the church and never come back. Someone walked out of our church many years ago. It was just a little church in one place. We had one church in Asafo. And this girl, I don't know, she thought one of the pastors had discussed her with me. And that the preaching I was preaching, it was her I was talking about. Because it seems all the message was actually about her. Hey! But I had no idea of what she was going through. I didn't know. Because we don't have discussions. Like, okay, this week we'll talk about this. Because we've noticed that most of the people are struggling with this. So, okay, this week we'll talk about. No, that's not how we preach. That's not. We are messengers sent from God. The Bible says in 1 Peter chapter 4 verse 11. It says, let the one who speak as the oracle of God. If any man speak, let him speak as the oracles of God. If any man minister, let him do it as of the ability which God giveth, so that God in all things may be glorified through Jesus Christ, to whom be praise and dominion forever and ever. So when someone stands to preach, when someone stands to lead worship, stands to lead praises, that person is functioning as an oracle of God. And God can say anything to you at any time. Okay? And one of the things that God speaks is to correct. The word of God is for four things. 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 16. All scripture is given by inspiration of God. It says all the Bible is given by the inspiration of God, or the breathing out of God. And it's profitable for number one, doctrine. Number two, reproof. Number three, for correction. Number four, instruction in righteousness. Four things. Number one is what? Doctrine. Number two is what? Reproof. Number three is what? Correction. Number four is instruction in righteousness. Let's look for another version. Show me another version. NLT. Okay, TPT is fine. Go to TPT. Every scripture has been written by the Holy Spirit, the breath of God. It will empower you by its instruction and correction, giving you the strength to take the right direction and lead you deeper into the path of godliness. Have you seen it? Now, message. Let's look at message. Exposing rebellion. Yeah. Every part of scripture is God-breathed and useful one way or another. Showing us truth, number one. Exposing our rebellion. You may not even know you are in rebellion. You come to church, you realize that all your rebellious hearts, the things in your heart that are not correct, will start coming up. Exposing our rebellion, correcting our mistakes, training us to live God's way. So it's for exposing. I like the King James. It says, for doctrine or teaching, then reproof. We have not preached to you if you don't feel reproved or corrected or instructed. If you only get a teaching, then there's a problem. Hello? Do you understand what I'm saying? So you don't run away when you are corrected. Because God corrects. He says the children he loves, he corrects them. He chastises them. It's a proof that he loves you. What? Yesterday, I lashed one of my daughters. Small lash, not any major. And she was crying. Because we are trying to do something. And she doesn't want to do it. We are trying to do devotion. She wants to watch tablet. What do you mean? Can my friend come and sit down? Should I say, oh, you can watch the tablet, whatever. When we are doing devotion, what am I doing? I'm training the child to be stubborn. And it is me who have a problem after some time. If you hear that my child is caught and is doing something, won't you blame me? You blame me. Hey, that pastor, whatever, whatever. That's what you will say. I have to lash. Jimmy is butter akuma of the child. The rod of correction. Foolishness is bound in the heart of a child. The rod of correction will drive it far away from. So God also does that for his sons. For all of us. And it is his love for us. He corrects us. You come to church, they are talking about preaching, and then they start talking about dressing.
Yeah. The message is for her.
They mention dressing. You have to dress well. And then it's like, this church, I don't like those. Why are they talking about dressing? I don't like those things. I'm not coming again. When correction came, you couldn't stand. But the word of God is God's love for you. God's love doesn't do all the things I've spoken of only. It also trains you and raises you. You have done cleavage. It's wild. Show me that verse. What's that verse? 1 Timothy 2, verse 9. Easy English. Can we read it together? One, two, go. I want the women to wear proper clothes. Women should wear clothes that do not show their bodies too much. Too much. I tell you about too much. You are blinding eyes. I mean, it's a problem. Too much. Continue. A woman should not wear clothes that cause other people to be ashamed about her. Women should not do their hair in an expensive way that takes a lot of time. Continue. One to go. Nor should they wear gold or beautiful stones or expensive clothes. Like all your money, you don't have savings. All your money has been used on wig. All your money has been used on. Oh, Charlie, you are wearing the savings. When correction like this comes, I'm not the one. This one is not part. Just saying. And then it's like, why? Why are they mentioned? I don't like this. I don't like. It's God's love. He says the son that he loves, that he receives to himself, he scourges, he chastises. Yeah, Hebrews 12, verse 7. If you endure chastening, God dealeth with you as with sons. For what son is he whom the father chasteneth not? You see, he's talking about being trained. The word chasten is paideia. It has to do with child train, to train you. The activity brings it out as well. Look at TBT. Fully embrace God's correction as part of your training, you see? For he is doing what any loving father does for his children. For who has ever heard of a child who never had to be corrected? Who has ever heard of a child who had never had to be corrected? God will correct you. Sometimes God will tell you, you are too proud. Yeah, you'll be there and God will tell you, you are too proud. Look at how you reacted to this particular thing. There's inward correction. And then there's outward correction. Yeah. God can speak to you outwardly through a preaching and then speak to you inwardly as you are in your house. Yeah, he just talk to you. Stop this. Stop that. It's a sign that you are actually his child. You are his son. Yes. Or your shepherd can tell you that this thing, you should change it. No, this thing is not right. Don't do this. Don't get offended. Don't carry your bag and say, I brought myself, I'm out. The frame. Eh? Peace out. I'm out. No. Yes, that's what the word teaches. Like, small thing, you are off. It doesn't work like that. Okay? Hello? That's one of the major things the love of God does for you. Corrects you. Trains you. Raises you. It reproves you. And exposes your rebellion. It exposes your rebellion. Like you are being a rebellious person. You must listen. As you listen in, you'll be surprised. God will change your life. You become the goodness of God leads you to repentance. Leads you to repentance. Hallelujah. Praise God. Say, I'll never go down in my life. I am loved by the Father. God is my Father. I believe it. I believe the love that God has for me. He says he will give his beloved sleep. You are struggling to sleep. Remember that God is your father. He says he gives all his children sleep. Go to bed. Psalm 127, verse 2. It is vain for you to rise up early and to sit up late. That's worrying. Worry prevents you from sleeping. To eat the bread of sorrows. You are eating the bread that you are eating. It's bread. It's sorrows. Eh? What did you say? I want the bread now. The bread is feeling cold. Sorrows. Can we read maybe TPT? Is there TPT of this? It really is senseless to work so hard
from early morning to late at night, toiling to make a living for fear of not having enough. Wow. God can provide for his lovers even while they are asleep.
I love this
picture. Yeah. God provides for his lovers even while they sleep. So don't fret, like, try. Don't worry. Every time you are worried, it says be anxious for nothing. Hmm? Hello? Tell me about be anxious for nothing. Dwell in the love of the Father. Do you know one of the major reasons for speaking in tongues? Can I show you one of the major reasons for speaking in tongues? Jude 1, verse 20. But ye beloved, you know, Jude talks about all the wild things that will be happening in the world in our time and beyond our time. Then he says, but you beloved, building up yourselves on your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Ghost, that's praying in tongues, praying in the Holy Spirit, comma, not full stop, comma. Next, look at the next verse. Keep yourselves in the love of God. Keep yourselves in the love of God. Keep yourselves in the love of God. For them, and looking for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ unto eternal life. Yeah. He says, keep yourself. The way to keep yourself in the love of God is to learn to pray in tongues a lot. Keep yourself in the love of God. Like the word in is a locative case. It has to do with the location. It's like if everywhere is flooding and this is the only safe haven. It says, stay here, don't go. If you go out, you'll be carried by the river. You'll be carried by the flood. So keep yourself. Interpret all the happenings of your life, all the situations of your life, from the point that you are loved by God. I'm loved by God. I'm loved by God. I'm loved. God loves me too much. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I shall fear no evil. For thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. The Lord is comforting me. The Lord is helping me. When you look at the things that are around, you may drown. You look at the luck, you look at the things, you may drown. Look at the love that God has for you. And like I said, the cross is the expression of God's love for you. If he gave his son, how shall he not with him also freely give me all things? He will sort me out. It doesn't matter what's going on. God is sorting me out. God is preserving me. God is taking care of me. It can never get worse. It can only get better. I'm rising higher and higher, going higher and higher in the name of the Lord Jesus. That's my life. Yes, you maintain your confession. You maintain yourself in the love of God. It says keep. The word keep, Jude 1:21. Keep. The word keep is stereo. It means to guard. To guard yourself. Like, make sure you don't leave that love. Make sure you don't leave it. Look at Romans. Romans chapter 8. Let's read verse 35. It says, who shall separate us from the love of Christ? The love of Christ is the love of the Father. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Then it says, shall tribulation. The tribulation will come, but know that tribulation cannot remove you from the love. God loves you too much, no matter what's going on. Tell your neighbor. No matter what is going on, no matter what you are going through, remember that God loves you. Remember that you are in him. Yes, you are dwelling in his love. Shall tribulation, let's read a lighter version, we don't understand tribulation, distress, yantas. Can anything ever separate us from Christ's love? Does it mean he no longer loves us if we have trouble or color? It's a good verse. It's a good version. Does it mean he no longer loves us if we have trouble or calamity? Listen, this is, but they suffered more than we are suffering. What have you suffered? You have this microwave type of Christians. Everything fast. Ping, ping. If it doesn't happen, we are off. These guys were going through things. How can I tell you, wouldn't have been in church. You wouldn't have been a Christian if you were born just some few thousands of years back. Yes. Because they are burning people at the stake. They are sawing people into two every week. So after the service this week,
we are 500 or something here, over 500 here. After the service, next week when we are coming back, it's left with 350 people because 150 people have died during the week. How does a pastor bless the week? The Lord bless you and keep you, make his face shine. That means that the week you'll be seeing God, you are going to heaven because you are going to die during the week. People were still giving their lives to Christ. They were still enjoying the Lord. They were still flowing even though they were being killed. Why? Because they knew the love of the Father so strongly that whether life or death, we are with the Lord. Paul said, to die is to be with the Lord, is gain. To live is for your benefit. He didn't care about death. He didn't care about, and the Christians, they didn't care. Paul was warned in Acts chapter 20. Paul was on his way to Rome. You see, and he was warned. It's even before Acts chapter 20. One prophet called Agabus took his belt and bound himself. Took Paul's belt and bound himself and said, that says the Lord, the one who owns this belt shall be bound like this in Rome. And everybody was crying. This Acts 21, verse 11. And when he was come unto us, he took Paul's girdle and bound his own hands and feet and said, thus says the Holy Ghost, so shall the Jews at Jerusalem bind the man that owned this girdle and shall deliver him into the hands of the Gentiles. Verse 12. And when we heard these things, this is Luke writing the book of Acts. He says, when we heard these things, when we heard this, we and the local believers all begged Paul, not to go into Jerusalem. Don't go. Look at Paul's answer. Paul said, but he said, why all this weeping? You are breaking my heart. I am ready not only to be jailed at Jerusalem, but even to die for the sake of the Lord Jesus. What is it? What is it that was keeping these guys? You know you are going to die if you receive Jesus as your Lord and personal Savior, and you receive him anyway. What was it? What was it? Paul shows us the answer. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 14. Either way, Christ's love, not our love for Christ, but Christ's love for us, controls us. Since we believe that Christ died for all, we also believe that we have all died to our old life. Next verse. He died for everyone so that those who receive his new life will no longer live for themselves. Instead, they will live for Christ, who died and was raised for them. One of the things I really want God to help me to understand is to understand his love, how much he loves me, and not care about what any man would do unto me. You need to go deeper into the love of the Father. Because you are not being threatened to be killed. If someone should enter this place, God forbid, with a cutlass, that who are those who say they are Christians? You bend the Allahu Akbar. You may be surprised. Just because the thing is not deep, hasn't really, you don't really know the fact. You'll be shocked. You will see pastors bending down. Wallahi chalaim mutumbanza. You may be surprised. Is that speaking out there? My name is Musa. I'm Isaka. I came to visit. This is not my place. I'm just going. Hey! Receive grace to respond the way you are supposed to respond. Yeah. It's just because we don't understand the love of the Father. Yeah. He says, what shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation? Show me that verse. Shall tribulation or distress? Let's read NLT. Does it mean he no longer loves us if we have trouble or calamity? Or are persecuted or hungry? He says, even in hunger. God loves. I don't care what's going on. I'm loved. I'll be sorted out. I'm okay. Paul will have shipwreck. He will spend a night and a day in the sea. And when he comes out, he will not say, God, this is the last time I'm serving you. Oh, look at a small serving. I became a man of God. Look how I'm suffering. Me and you. I'm off. It's nothing like that. He will come out, go preaching again. A snake bites him, he shakes the snake off and continues his life. You hit your leg against a stone. God, why? Why are you so crazy? Why? Receive grace to not talk like that. Yes. Receive grace to explain everything of your life in light of the love of God. God loves me. When Stephen was being stoned to death, they were stoning him to death. He didn't curse those who were stoning him. If he had cursed them, Paul wouldn't have been saved. You know, Paul was the organizer of that stoning. He was the chairman of the stoning. Yes. But Stephen said that, Lord, don't hold it against any of them. Hey, what manner of love is this? The one who is stoning you and they are killing you. And Jewish stoning, they target your head. They target your limbs. They break your limbs, break your head like you a snake. They kill you like killing a snake. You see, if a snake should show up here, that snake is in trouble. We'll make sure the snake dies. Our pastor in Canada, Pastor Papo, works with a certain construction company. And one of the rules is that you don't kill a snake if you find a snake. So they do road construction. So they are cutting new road through a bushy area. You see snake, you must guide the snake to safety. Must guide the snake. If you kill the snake, you see what will happen to you. One of our pastors killed a snake in Thailand. He killed a snake in Thailand. He almost went to prison. He was arrested. They had to bail him out. He's in France right now. He killed the snake in Thailand. He came out of his house and saw the snake. He said, hey, pick the stone. And his neighbor was watching him kill the snake and bury the snake. And then the neighbor called the police. There's a guy here, since he doesn't understand the rules here, he has killed the snake. Please come for him. And they came for him. No, it was the outside. Yeah. We don't kill snakes in some place. You must guide them to safety. So there's snakes. You see snakes around, you just say hello and then you pass by. And they also continue their lives. But in Ghana, we'll stone you like the way they stone Paul. Hey. So Pastor Papo sent me a video of him guiding a snake to safety. What a shock. Yeah. Snake guide. It's wild. They were stoning Stephen like a snake in Ghana. Not a snake in, where is the place? Thailand. Snake in Ghana. And he said, Lord, lay not this sin to their charge. And when he had said this, he fell asleep or he died. Yes. Christians fall asleep. We don't die. That's what the Bible says. It's amazing. It takes a lot of love for you to... It's like you have a certain understanding of God's love that even when some people are destroying you, doing whatever, you don't curse them. You don't say some things. You don't... Whatever. I think we should pray and ask God. Stand up. Let's ask God to help us understand it. We don't understand the love. We don't understand the love. Lord, help us understand your love. Pray. Tell God to help you understand his love. Talk to the Lord now.
God bless you for listening. We pray that the Word of God will be rooted and grounded in your heart as you give attention to the Word. Kindly follow Pastor T and Love Economy Church on all social networks for more of God's Word. Don't forget to subscribe to the Pastor T podcast. Simply search for Pastor T on any podcast app. Plug in and enjoy God's Word. Visit our website at loveeconomychurch.org for more information. God bless.